most recently, we haven't gotten a chance to discuss and share some of the insights of the Tolna Rebbe on the Parshios. So I'd like to share with you now, first of all, in Dvarim Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Vav, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Va'yisabeh Hashem bilamanchem v'lo shama elai v'yomer Hashem elai rav lecha al tosif daber elai od badavar hazeh." And it seems that Hashem is angry at Moshe Rabbeinu, and he doesn't listen to my prayers, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem says to me, says Moshe, "It's too much for you. Don't speak to me anymore about this matter." And the key words here are rav lecha. Rashi gives two interpretations. Says Rashi, "Rav lecha shelo yomru harav kama kosha vatalmid kama sarvan umavtzir." The first interpretation of Rashi seems to be somewhat negative, pejorative, comparing Moshe Rabbeinu to a Talmud who is stubborn. He refuses to take an answer. But the second interpretation, Dover Acher, Rav lecha harbe mizeh shomer lecha rov tuv tzafon lecha tzafon lecha. In other words, don't worry, Moshe Rabbeinu. And Hashem comes to console Moshe Rabbeinu. There'll be plenty of schar for you. And there's plenty of good stuff waiting for you, in store for you, a great reward hidden for you. So this is the first question we want to ask. It seems that Rashi is, in his first shot, negative, and his second shot, positive. How do we reconcile that? And Rashi seems to quote them in one breath. Now, if we focus on the first interpretation, it's a little bit strange. Lo yomru harav kama kosha. It sounds like there's nothing wrong with requesting over and over again to enter into the land, but you know what? People will talk about it negatively. Why are we emphasizing the shelo yomru aspect here? And in any event, it seems that Moshe's tefillos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a private matter. It wasn't necessarily divulged publicly. So why are people saying, "Oh, look at the Talmud, look at the Rebbe"? Now, there are two. In order to answer these questions, we have to go back to basics. There are two major modes of service to Hashem, and those are Torah and tefillah. And the Sfas has a beautiful insight here, which I'd like to study with you, comparing and contrasting these two modes of service. In the case of Torah, he says, the greatness of a midah for Torah, for limud Torah, which is antithetical in the case of tefillah, is confidence. The Mishnah says in Ovis Law, Vaishan Lomed, the student has to be, in a sense, pushy. What do I mean by pushy? I mean he has to have confidence in his questions and persist in them and not feel, "Oh, who am I to ask such a question?" And this seems to be reflective of what the Pasuk says at the very beginning of Sefer Dvarim, giving encouragement to Klal Yisrael, Hashem Elokeichem hirbo eschem vehinchem kichochvei hashamayim lerov. God says, you know what? Hashem has increased you, you're like the stars of the sky, Hashem is building up the greatness of Klal Yisrael. And for the midah of Torah study, we need to have that build up, that, you know, being pumped up, that we're great. And therefore, the beginning of the Torah, in which Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to inspire the people to study Torah, he tells them how Hashem thinks so highly of you, of your greatness of spirit. Hirba eschem. That's the key word, is hirba eschem. And of course, Chazal always described learning as milchamta shel Torah. A person has a sense of confidence, he goes ahead, and he fights. The Gemara says a kedushin
that at the beginning the Rav and the Talmud are like enemies that fight each other until they reconcile their opinions. Again, the Torah doesn't encourage in any way gaiva, but on the other hand, the person shouldn't be too humble. So we need someone who's able to challenge the Rebbe and he feels strong about it. Tefillah, says the Ger Rebbe, is on the other polar extreme of the spectrum. It requires a totally different state of mind. The Pasuk says, Tefillah li ani ki atof. Ani is the pauper. The person who comes to David Hashem comes with a humble and broken heart. The Zohar is famous for saying that David HaMelech's power of prayer was that he stripped himself of all his royal garb, he lowered himself from the level of a king, of a melech, to the point to which he felt desperate. Total humility, what we call in Chassidus his batlus, total self-negation. That's the exact opposite attitude of the one that's appropriate for Talmud Torah. It's got to be, when it comes to tefillah, who am I? I need Hashem totally. I'm totally dependent upon Hashem. I have nothing of my own. These are two really opposite elements of Avodas Hashem. Both of them are appropriate and both of them are necessary, but you have to have the right attitude and the right attribute when you're doing this, when you're doing tefillah, and when you're doing that, when you're doing Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is compared in Chazal, in Bava Basra, Pnei Moshe Kepnei Hachama. Moshe Rabbeinu's face radiates like the face of the sun. And why is that? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is fulfilling primarily the role of the Moser HaTorah. He is there to transmit the Torah, to teach the Torah, to be the Rav and guide the people. All that has to come from a clarity that represents or is symbolically represented by the sun. You want to explain the Torah and transmit it to your Talmidim, they have to understand it clearly. There's no room for fudging it, for mistakes. It's got to be like the light of day. And Moshe Rabbeinu's face radiates like the face of the moon. However, the Gemara continues and says, Pnei Yoshua kipnei levana. Yoshua gets the reflected light. His job, Yoshua, is not so much to transmit the Torah as much as it is to bring the people into Eretz Yisrael. And he doesn't have that madrega of the sun. And he's represented by the moon. The moon, in a sense, insofar as it absorbs the light or reflects the light from the sun, is his spotless, is again this self-nullification. And now the Ger Rebbe goes on to say that it's to be understood why Yoshua is the perfect choice for taking the people into Eretz Yisrael. His midah is the midah of avod of tefillah of his batlus. And here we look at Dvarim Perek Zion. We saw already at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, the Torah speaks about the greatness of Klal Yisrael. And the Torah describes the people of Israel as Hinchem Hirba Eschem, but that Hirba Eschem Kikochave Shamai, which is the introduction to Torah study, is to be juxtaposed on the opposite polar extreme, where when it talks about going into Eretz Yisrael in Dvarim Perek Zion, it says Lo Mirubchem. Mamish, instead of Hirba Eschem, Lo Mirubchem Mikola Am Choshek Hashem Bochem. All of a sudden, Hashem is saying that we are the smallest of nations, not the largest of nations. And that's what it means to go into Eretz Yisrael. Going into Eretz Yisrael means we have to come with a humble heart. We have to realize that we depend upon Hashem. We don't have the military might to defeat seven nations that occupy the land. But the Sfas Emes explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the people in Perek Zion exactly how they would succeed in conquering the land. They need Lo Mirubchem. They need Ki Atem Hama'at Mikol Ha'amim. Rashi says on Atem Hama'at Mikol Ha'amim, Hamematim Es Atzmachem. Hama'at means that you make yourself small. That's the approach of humility. That's the approach of tefillah. That's the attitude when we enter into Eretz Yisrael. We depend upon Hashem, and Ein Lanu Lishon Al Avinu Shabashamayim. Yoshua, since he embodies and personifies this Mida of his Batlus, he is the one who's chosen to lead Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to lower himself to that level. Moshe Rabbeinu is also the Anav Mikol Adam. But Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, primarily has to function as the role of the Atem, how do we say it? Hashem Elkim Hirbeskab, the Hirbeskab attitude, meaning as the Moshe Torah is the Rav of the people, he has to be the leader. He's got to play that active role. There's no room for his batlus in Mesiras HaTorah. On the contrary, a person has to feel a confidence. That's what Moshe represents. So of course Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what, let me enter into Eretz Yisrael and lead the people, because I too have the mid of his batlus. I am the Anav Mikol Adam. But there shouldn't be a misunderstanding. Here we come back to our original question of Shalo Yomru. What's the Shalo Yomru over here that Rashi emphasizes? Moshe Rabbeinu, if he enters into Eretz Yisrael, might be teaching the people, since Moshe Rabbeinu personifies this attitude, this midah of self-confidence, that to conquer Eretz Yisrael, we need Moshe Rabbeinu. We need the personality that's appropriate for Torah learning. That's the personality that's appropriate for entering into Eretz Yisrael. And that's not what it is. HaKadosh Baruch wants a different kind of midah, a different kind of mental state and attitude when we conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, and this is Rashi's first pshat, Rav Lecha. Rav Lecha means you play the role as the Rav. And in that context, you are the great intellect to represent the dialectic of Torah study with great confidence, the Milchamta Shel Torah. Here there's no place for humility. Here you have to have absolute confidence in yourself. You have to be like the sun. You have to have clarity. And Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what? The people won't understand that. They think that you're the Sarvan. You play the role of receiving the Torah, transmitting the Torah, as someone who's going to refuse to accept, who will fight you tooth and nail. And that's not appropriate for entering into it. So we need the humility, this batlus of Yoshua bin Nun. And Rashi's second shot, when Hashem says Rav Lecha, is to tell him that there's a shmir, that God is preserving for Moshe Rabbeinu an even greater reward, and that is the ispashtuse de Moshe b'chol dar v'dar, that, you know, your teaching, your role as a teacher of Torah and a transmitter of Torah is not limited to Eretz Yisrael. It's every generation, in every place we go into Golus, we need the Moshe Rabbeinu, we need the dedication to Torah study. Is Al Tosif Daver Eli Od Bidover Hazeh. Don't persist here in pushing me. Your role as a leader of Klal Yisrael was meant to be a teacher, to be a fighter of the Milchamta Shel Torah, and your neshama will go through and express itself through the Gedol Yisrael in all generations, in all Golios. And that means we need, for the sake of Eretz Yisrael, we need humility. We just ended the period of Bein HaMetzarim, and our longing for Eretz Yisrael these days is at its peak. We have to strengthen ourselves in the area of Tefillah, in the concept of Midah of His Batlus, but at the same time, we need to be dedicated to Torah study. These are the days after Tu B'Av, with longer nights that are appropriate for Torah study. And it's interesting that when Kalev describes the land of Israel, he says, Tov Haaretz Me'od Me'od. And in Hasidus they say Me'od Me'od is a reference to humility. Because the Mishnah says in Avos, heavy ma'od 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 heavy shval ruach. Ma'od ma'od is humble, is humility. In humility we go to the extreme. The spirit of Yoshua ben Nun is his batlus. That's what's going to give us the ability to appreciate the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. We have to be tov haaretz ma'od ma'od. And that's the ma'od ma'od of shiflus, of anova, of humility. That's the appropriate attitude that we should have in the framework of our love for Eretz Yisrael. And you know, not long down the line, we're going to have Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. These are days of Bakoshes Rachamim, The shofar itself is a symbol, says the Gemara, of Kama Dechayef Inish Daiti Tvei Male. The more a person bends himself and humbles himself, like the bent over shofar, the greater is his tefillah. These are days of tefillah, and in fact, in about 10 days from now, the Sfaradim will already begin Slichos, so it's not far away. Today, I think they said Hataras Nedarim. We're already in that mode of pre-Rosh Hashanah mode, and Rosh Hashanah is the day of Tefillah. Rosh Hashanah is Tefillah Liani. We have to have a sense of humility to realize that as Hashem is inscribing us in the year to come, we are totally, totally dependent upon Him. And Hashem should grant us the Hatzlacha, the ability to penetrate within our souls the midah of hispatlus and the tefillah li'ani attitude. At the beginning of Parshas Ekev, Dvarim Ches, starting with Pasuk Zayin and going on, the Torah describes and praises the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. Ki Hashem Elokecha Meviacha El Eretz HaTova Eretz Nachlei Mayim Ayonos, Utahomos Yotzim Bibiko Bahar, Eretz Chita, Siora Gefen, Teino, etc., etc., Eretz Hashalom, Skenos, Tolcha Balechem, Lotech Sarkolba, Eretz Hashara Vanela, Barzel, Maharet, Tachtov, Nechoshes, Viachaltov, Isavot, Erachtos Hashem Alokecha, Ala Oretz, Hatova, Shernos, Anloch. Now, within this description of the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, the special nature of Eretz Yisrael which is Mishupas Benachle Mayim, and it has all the beautiful Shevas Aminim Shedishtachu and Oretz, a land in which we can eat Lasova, Vechalto, Vesavot, and then Uberachtas Hashem Alekecha. Why is the Pasuk add and integrate Mechaks, I mean, Chatzvei Barzel Nechoshes? I mean, all this thing about iron and copper, this doesn't seem to be in place here. Why is it integrated here in this description of the greatness of Eretz Yisrael, the praise of Eretz Yisrael? And really, in effect, if the Torah wanted to add additional praises for the land of Israel, it would seem to have made a lot more sense to arrange these descriptions after the Pasuk V'chalto V'savato Erachta, because the Machzevim of Barzel and so forth don't give us any food. So let's finish with the food and then talk about the Barzel and the Nechoshes. Also, what's this Lobim Eskenus Tochal Bo Lechem? The Kli Yoker says that this is a reference to Ori Miskenos LeParo, that these were the Ori Otsoros of Paro, where his treasuries were. But the simple pshat, as the Ibn Ezra already says, is that b'maskenus means b'dalus uba'anius. A miskein is someone who never is destitute. And, once again, we should ask the question, why would this be integrated into the shvach of Eretz Yisrael? The fact that the lechem that we eat is b'miskenos, or it's not b'miskenos, but, you know, that doesn't tell us much. Lo b'miskenos tochel lechem. It seems so secondary. And it could be that the Chazal had some sort of Kabbalah that anyone who is involved, who's dedicated in Binyan, in building, then he might be in a certain sense in danger. So B'miskenus is Miloshon Sakona, and Hashem promises us, and we pray to this effect, that He will protect us even from that danger. And then again, the Pasuk says, Asher Avaneh Barzel. It's a land with stones that are made of steel. What does that mean? That the stones are made of Barzel, of steel. Well, what does that have to do one with the other? You know, Avonim are Avonim and Barzel is Barzel. What's this connection all about? And it could be possible that we find that amongst the Marbitze Barzel, Bein Avonim Shebesoch Adoma, unless these Avonim are a reference to the granite, and we remove the granite, we find Barzel, steel underneath, underground. The Ramban was bothered by this. He says, "Vatam, and what is the meaning of Asher Avonel Barzel? Kibimkom Asher Tachshov Shesham Avonim Sham Tinta Barzel." You know, you're looking and you're thinking there's going to be stone there, and lo and behold, to your happy surprise, you find Barzel instead, and that means that really Barzel is not in any way something that comes from the Avonim, from the stones. But when a person digs and he thinks that he's going to find there stones, he may instead find something else entirely. And what will he find? He'll find Barzel, which is much more valuable. The Sfardo mentions Avaneh Barzel Sheba Nimta Ribui Avonim Koshos Ubehiros Yafos Vitovus Labinyan. He says that if you are able to extract the Barzel from the Avonim, from the stones, and it's not that the Barzel comes from Avonim, but when they dig below the ground and they think they're going to find only stone, wow, it's going to be a great miraculous find that they found Barzel instead of what they anticipated to be Avonim. And when the Sfarno says Avonel Barzel Sheba Nimta Ribui Avonim Koshos Behiros Yofos Vitovos Labinyon, he's talking about beautiful, precious stones that could be used to make any sort of rings and necklaces and so forth. So we're not talking about the metal substance called Barzel, but we're talking about stones, rare stones, if you will, that could be used for binyan and that are strong as steel. So let's go to the sugya in Tainus of Barzel. Barzel becomes a code word in the sugya in Tainus. Kol tam chokhm sheinu koshe ki barzel, right? As strong, as hard as steel. And the Gemara tries to derive this from various psukim, one of which is our pasuk Eretz Asher Avonel Barzel Altikri Avonel El Bonel. Now, what that means is that the Talmidei Chachamim and their midos is nichnasim b'toch shvach shel Eretz Yisrael, somehow got injected into the praise for Eretz Yisrael. Again, the Talmidei Chachamim just might happen to be in Eretz Yisrael, and yet it would seem that this Barzel idea might refer to the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. So nichnasim Talmidei Chachamim midosem b'toch shvach shel Eretz Yisrael. We have this admixture of the shvach for the Talmidei Chachamim and their midos together with the shvach of Eretz Yisrael. And one last question here on this Avonel Barzel. If it's a reference to Talmidei Chachamim, what are we going to do with the next part of the pasuk? Maharel tachtzov nechoshes. Now, if you look at Targum Yonason, he writes that harareha, this is a symbol or an allusion for Talmidim of Talmidei Chachamim. And where do we see that the Talmidim are called harim, are called mountains? Very strange. The Kli Yakar wants to integrate the issue of Lomdei Torah together with the Barzel and Nechoshes in a different sort of way, and he wants to use a second kasha to answer the first kasha, and then he can answer the second kasha. The Torah says, "Umaro al kochal lidrosh posuk ze alom de ator b'makom sheish lefarshon kipshuta." The Kli Yakar wants to know why are we interpreting this posuk as referring to the Torah scholars? Why not just interpret it straightforward? What was bothering them that they introduced the Talmidei Chachamim here? And perhaps the answer is because the pasuk begins with Inyonei Achilas Lechem, V'akach immediately afterwards, V'achalto V'savoto V'erachto. In other words, the pasuk begins with Achilas Lechem, ends with V'achalto V'savoto, that's okay, but in the middle, it wedges a description of Harel Barzel, and that's what bothered the Chazal, so they said this must be the Lomdei the Lomdei Torah that are to be compared to Barzel. Now the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin Rav Oshia, "My dechsiv akechli shnei maklos." The Gemara in Sanhedrin, we had it recently in the Daf Yomi, speaks about the nevuah, this prophetic vision of shnei maklos. One is called Noam, the other is called Chovlim, which are antithetical to each other. One is beauty and comfort, and the other is Chovlim, which means to assault someone. And Rav Oshia goes on to say that Noam, the word Noam, is a reference to Talmidei Chacham Shebe'eretz Yisrael, Sheman Imim Zed Zebalocha, whereas Chovlim is a code word for Talmidei Chacham Bavel, who are Mechablim Zed Zed. Instead of dealing with each other B'ne'imus, they attack each other. And therefore, it's Ze lo ze ba'alocha v'enom mis'aifinin b'koshim kibarza. So it means that when we refer to the Talmidei Chacham in Bavel who fight with each other and they try to undermine each other when they deal with halacha until ultimately they come to an agreement, so it's Talmidei Chacham shebe'eretz Yisrael who are man'im im zetzeh in halacha, and they are not, shall I say, represented or described by Barzel, by Koshelik Barzel. So how do we understand this? The Gemara is saying that in Tainis Naftal that the symbolism here of Barzel is the Talmidei Chacham who are Koshim Kibarzel, and yet we're talking here about Talmidei Chacham Sheberetz Yisrael who are Man'imim Zetzeh. So the Koshim Kibarzel equation seems to be totally out of place, and the Shvach Eretz Yisrael, which is being described in such beautiful, beautiful poetry almost, is a Siba, is an explanation for Madua Olenu Lishma Kol Hashem Ushmartim Es Mitzvos Hashem Elokecha Loleches Bidrochav Uliyiro Soki Hashem Elokecha Meviacha El Eretz Tov Eretz Nachli Mayim Ayonos Utomos Yotzim Bibika Ubahar. So this is the Torah, the description, the beautiful description of Eretz Yisrael. And why do we have to serve Hashem? And then we tell the whole story of Eretz Yisrael in all its variations. So it means that the Shvach of Eretz Yisrael that's being described here is meant to explain why we should listen to Kol Hashem, Ushmartem Es Mitzvos Hashem. And that's a pella, because do we have to listen and obey the word of God because he brings us to the Eretz Tova, to the land of Israel? And if he didn't bring us to the land of Israel, we would not have to feel the sense of Hakaras HaTov, and we would not have to be Shomer Mitzvahs. What is the Kesher? What's the connection between Shmiras HaMitzvahs and Shvach Eretz Yisrael? The application of the Psukim is very strange, that is, if we have to listen to Hashem and observe His mitzvahs because He's bringing us to Eretz HaTova. I mean, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bring us to a land that's not Tova, we wouldn't have to be obligated, obliged to fulfill His mitzvahs. It's not clear what's the connection between our motivation, our commitment to be Shomer Mitzvahs and the Shvach of Eretz Yisrael. What we want to talk about now is the difference between Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim, and of course we had a Shibud and a Golos that was terrible, that was bitter, that broke us, the Inuyim, the difficult physical body-breaking Inuyim, the Gzeros, the terrible decrees against the Jewish people, the Shiflus. We were down to the bottom level, not only in physicality, but even in spirituality. We went down to the Memtas Shari Tuma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis on us. He redeemed us from Mitzrayim. V'yod chazoka v'mobsum gdolim. The Mitzrayim got their 10 makas. There was awe in the settlement, in the Moshvos of Klal Yisrael. And there was a tremendous revolution here. Yisrael went from the lowest level, all the way to be a free level, a rich nation. The Mitzrim, on the other hand, went through a transition, and now they experience shiflus. They got the worst plagues, the Makos, and then Kriyas Yamsuf. The best of their military went down the Yamsuf. This was an unbelievable miracle. Never did any human ears ever hear such a thing about a change in nature. Absolutely shocking that Bnei Yisrael go out Biyad Ramah with the greatest Gvura, the highest level, in a very public way, a very sharp transition between Avdus and Shiflus on the one hand to Gvura and greatness on the other, what we call Mibira Mikta Le'igra Rama, in such a short period of time, from the lowest rung to the highest rung. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw fit in his divine wisdom to leave us, to postpone this, to have us stay in instead of, you know, going right into Eretz Yisrael, but to have us remain and sojourn through the Midbar for 40 years. During this 40-year period in the desert, Klal Yisrael have many, many miracles. They have the Be'er HaMayim, the Amud HaEish, the Onan, they have the Man, which goes right into their system. It's Nivla Be'Varim. The clothes that they're wearing, Lo Bolsa, Simchas Lo Bolsa, Me'alecha, Raglecha Lo Betzeka. They do nothing in terms of an effort for Parnosa. They have no worries from one day to the next. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of everything. Now they're going to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Now they're facing a real, real challenge. A very sharp transition. From the moment they enter into Eretz Yisrael, the Hanagah Nisit, the miraculous supernatural Hanhog of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gone. And now all they have is themselves. They don't have the Amud HaEish, they don't have the Amud HaNan. All that is going to disappear. All the miracles of the Be'er, the Man, all going to terminate. Now they're going to have to stand on their own 2 feet. They're going to have to earn their own living, their own parnasa. And it's not easy to go from to make that transition from living on miracles to living the life of nature, of work, of toil, of sweat. And in order to achieve this shinui, this change in anhaga, which has so many practical implications, and when I say practical, I mean even in spirituality, because while they're in the Midbar and they ate the man, which was Nivla Be'varim, it was much easier to serve Hashem. Because when they're serving Hashem with spiritual food, that's one thing. But now they begin, after entering into Israel, to serve Hashem with physical food. And now perhaps the nefesh, the human hybrid nature is such that he has a nefesh Bahamas, that's going to be influenced and strengthened from the rich physicality and materiality of Eretz Yisrael. The Torah says later on at the end of the Chumash, Dvarim Lamed Beis Vayishman Yeshurin Vayivat. When we get fat, we forget about Hashem. When the physical sustenance, the mazon gashmi, enters into the guf, then the human being himself becomes dragged down to Bahamius, to Gashmius, to physicality, to materiality. And now, Klal Yisrael has to face these challenges, spiritual challenges, the most difficult spiritual challenges. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Nisim, they were outright Nisim Gluyim in the Midbar. There was no Yetzirah, so to speak. And all they had to do was face, as Bali Amuna faced the days and learn Torah and Rosh Hashivchal Yom. Look what level they achieved after they left Mitzrayim. Having seen the Kriyas Yamsuf, who in that situation could ever lose his faith? You perceive on a daily basis the Amud HaEish, the Amud HaNan. This is in front of their eyes. They wake up every morning. They go outside. What do they see? The man. They taste it, and it tastes like anything they wanted to taste. That's all the Midbar. And again, there were challenges of the Midbar. I don't say no, but it's, again, challenges on the highest level of that reflects the great level of the Dar Deah of that generation of the Dar Deah. And those are challenges, we don't really understand those challenges so much because we are so far removed from that Dar Deah. But once they enter into Eretz Yisrael, now things are going to change immediately, and the kinds of challenges that are going to be difficult ones on a day-to-day basis, the nisyonos of the Yetzer Hara, because those are nisyonos that even we today can relate to, that we can recognize and acknowledge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to warn the people about what's coming around the bend, that they should anticipate, they should understand that when they enter into the land, they're going to need all the weapons, so to speak, all the capabilities that they need in order to fight, in order to succeed in the challenges, the daily challenges they're going to be facing, the difficult challenges because of the termination of the Hanagah Nisit, because of the end of the supernatural miraculous period in Klal Yisrael. This is the connection between Shmiras HaMitzvahs and Shvach Eretz Yisrael. Because of the Shvach of Eretz Yisrael, because of the, you know, Vayishman, the Shmanei HaTovim, there's a tremendous spiritual danger and challenge that faces the people of Israel. That's what the Torah says, V'shamarta es mitzvos Hashem Elokecha oleches bedrocha v'liyira oso, ki Hashem Elokecha mevircha eretz tova, eretz nachle mayim, ayonos tahomos, yotzim bebikov bahar. You know, it's because Hashem is taking you into this wonderful land, the Eretz Tova, and you can begin to enjoy the physicality, the eating of the Mazon Gashmi. Therefore, it's a particularly important obligation that's imposed upon you to be careful about Shmiras HaMitzvahs, to be God-fearing Jews, because only Shmiras HaMitzvahs and the fear of heaven is going to protect you in front of all the physical challenges that you're going to be faced, that might Hashem bring you down to Bahamius, to the animalistic nature that's within man. And if, heaven forbid, you don't guard the mitzvahs of Hashem, you're not careful and meticulous about observing them, then you go down in spirituality, because in Eretz Yisrael there's a tremendous amount of wealth, of physical wealth, and that could bring a person down to the lowest level of involvement, of being totally involved in physicality. Now we go back to the pasuk of Lo b'miskenos tochal bolecha. Perhaps there's a very special shvach here expressed in this pasuk, and that is that the man is called lechem shamayim. That's a heavenly, angelic food. It's a food that doesn't in any way drag a person down spiritually. It won't cause him in any way to be more physical, more gashmi. But once you eat the physical food of Eretz Yisrael, that's a whole different story. The Torah talks about the food that's b'miskenos. B'miskenos is a reference to the achilas haman, because this nation, which was given man, and they could taste any taste they wanted to in eating the man, nevertheless the man was spiritual. It was lacking in what we call tzura chitzonis. It didn't have the external trappings that bring a person to feel a sense of satiation. The psychologists have already taught us that when man sees the various foods and the substances and the colors, that already participates to the enjoyment of his eating, to the pleasure that he derives and the satiation that he feels. That's in the case of physical food, gashmi. And that gashmi brings a person to svia, to v'achalta v'savata. And in Eretz Yisrael there's going to be svia, and that comes through the fulfillment of the, you know, the filling of the belly in a way that Chas V'Shalom could bring a person to feel great about himself, a kind of kochi v'otzim yodi, he's megis bedato, and then midarder oso mibchina ruchanit. It's going to bring him down on a spiritual level. And therefore, ein kan et ha miskenut shel haman. Now, the Torah in describing the greatness of Eretz Yisrael is telling you that you don't have this b'meskenus tochal lechem, which left Bnei Yisrael feeling a sense of me'udonim b'nafsham, of being sensitive in the nefesh. No, on the contrary, here we're talking about entering into the land of Israel and enjoying the benefit of osher gufani, of physical, material richness and pleasures. And Eretz Yisrael is lo b'meskinus tochal b'lechem. It's not based on the heavenly, angelic man that comes down supernaturally from the upper spheres down to man. No, that's not what it's all about. Lehepach. There's going to be physicality. There's going to be satiation. And if that be the case, there is a certain danger on the spiritual level of where we're going to go. In Eretz Yisrael, a person doesn't eat lechem b'miskenus. Miskenus is the spirituality and the supernatural mind, but rather b'tayva rava. He has a tremendous desire to enjoy his food, and this taiva has to be, in a sense, reined in. It has to be merusenet. It has to be controlled, in order that chas v'shalom a person shouldn't get to the point of zlila v'hispatlus v'hispamayus. Excuse me. Lola says letaiva lishtalit ala onam zu havoda shel Eretz Yisrael. Our avoda in the land of Israel is to guarantee that we don't get dragged down to this animalistic level of physical pleasures. Again, the word meskenus here, describing the man, means that Nebuch, the man, had no tsuras ochel the way as we know it today, which gives a person pleasure. And that's, in that case, it's meskenus. It's like a little bit of a nebuch. It's on a spiritual level, it's great, it's awesome. Miraculously, you can taste whatever you taste, but it still was lacking the pizzazz of, you know, you have a beautiful fruit salad out there, you have a beautiful piece of cake with all its trimmings. And that goes on endlessly. There's a whole Torah here to figure out how to make food appealing to the eyes and therefore to the mouth. In Eretz Yisrael, lo yochlu es halechem b'miskenus. There's no miskenus here. There's taiva rava, there's enjoyment, there's pleasure in eating the food, but that brings with it a tremendous challenge that chas v'shalom we shouldn't be dragged down to bahamius, to the world of taiva that can control a person. That's our avodah in Eretz Yisrael. And there's a certain kind of a vicious cycle here, because on the one hand, if Eretz Yisrael is mishubeches, if its fruits are tovim v'yofim, as the Gemara describes at the end of Ksubas, then the sakana to the Jewish people is even that much greater. The more beautiful, the more praiseworthy is the land, the greater is the challenge in terms of spirituality that we as a nation have to face. On the other hand, if Am Yisrael was successful and they were able to face the challenge of the physicality and possibly even uplift Hilas Alos, to uplift the Gashmis and get to a higher level, is then Mizbarchim Peirosav Yosef Yosef. It's a funny kind of relationship, because the more we successfully overcome these challenges, then the blessing of the Peros gets greater and greater, and again the temptation gets greater and greater. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, in the name of Rabbi Abba and Daf Tzach, that there's no Ketz Megula, there's no obvious revelation of the ultimate redemption, except for the Peros, the beautiful fruits that grow in the land. When Rashi says, Kishetitein Eretz Yisrael Piria, Be'ayin Yofer, Oz Yikar V'Ketz, we know that the end of days is coming very quickly. So we hope that in the future, in Mamish, very soon, the Eretz Yisrael will come back to produce the fruits that were as great as they were at the time when Bnei Yisrael entered into the land. And afterwards, of course, Bnei Yisrael sinned, and they went down to that Madrega, and obviously the country, the land is not producing the way it once did produce, and that's called a relationship between Shmiras HaTorah and Yerushalayim and Shevach Eretz Yisrael. That the more, the greater there is of Shmiras HaTorah, the greater and the more intense there is of fear of God, the greater and more intense is the Shevach of Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is going to respond in a very positive positive way. And now maybe we can understand the Barzel and the Choshes. Why are the steel and the cup, why is it integrated here? And the answer is because these are symbols of what we call HaKoach Livlom. In other words, when you use these kinds of very strong metals, what you really have in mind when you know your objective in a classical way is that it should withstand any attackers, so to speak, in every situation. That's how powerful it is. Whether it's heat, whether it's cold, whether it's water or beer, b'chol matzavim, in kar and chom, mayim, ruach, anything you can think of, in all these situations, there is what's called an amida. That's what we mean when we say strongest steel. You know, it doesn't get moved. It doesn't get bent out of shape. And the Gemara compares a tzur mirabbanan, a Talmud Chacham, if he gets angry, to the fact that when he learns Torah, he gets all into it. Rashi says, "Mitoksha Toraso." Once he's learning Torah, Mason will vavo yosem ishar bnei adam. He's very careful in his opinion, in his view, in formulating his dea, and he'll fight for that. V'chayovim laduno lekaf schus. And if he got angry at one particular occasion, it's because that's what happens. That's what he's used to. He's used to the milchamta shel Torah. And therefore, when we talk about Talmidei Chachamim, they have the quality of oraisa kamarasachle, that the Torah makes them, you know, angry, so to speak. It inspires them to be emotionally on the highest level, so to speak. Then on the other hand, it's possible that Talmidei Chachamim, because of that attribute of kamarasachle, they will come to a point where they get angry and varoscha, and it's gam me'evra lelimud. So it turns out that even in Masa Umatan, when human beings are involved in business dealings, then it becomes very bad if a person gets angry, because people don't want to tolerate someone who sets off the alarm and is angry, and rather they are working together to be friends, to be bnei adam. The greatest challenge facing the Talmud Chacham is he should be rach kekona. He should be bending and yielding like a reed that, you know, the winds can blow. He shouldn't be tough like steel and get angry and not have tolerance for others. And now we understand that because Talmidei Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael, they're the ones who control they're in control of their ruach. They're like Barzel and Achoshes. They won't yield. They have those principles and the dedication to goodness and to sweetness. And therefore, Manimim Zed said they bring joy one to the other. So when we asked, how is it possible that Talmidei Chachamim enter into the Masechet, the whole attitude about analysis of Eretz Yisrael, he says, "She'ech nichnasim Talmidei Chacham b'toch Masechta Hashvachim shel Eretz Yisrael." Very strange that we could expect from Talmidei Chachamim that they should again review. Dafka in Eretz Yisrael, the Talmidei Chachamim was successful in overcoming that rischa that could make them into angry people and fighting people. They're sholtim berucham, and they're like Barzel and Achoshes. They're not willing to yield, and therefore they're manimim zetzer. So if you ask the question, how is it that Talmidei Chachamim enter into this whole presentation about the shvach of Eretz Yisrael, the answer is that in Eretz Yisrael, where there's so much natural resource and beauty and gashmias, and that could bring a person chashom to the state of vayishman yeshurin vayivat, and they might reject Hashem chas v'shalom. That danger is very similar to the danger that Talmidei Chachamim face when they're naturally, in terms of their own essence, they're oraisa kamiraskal bahu, it's the Torah within him that's restless, that's fighting. On the one hand, Yeshlem Bracha, they have the Torah. On the other hand, they have a sakono that they might fall into this terrible aver of kaas. And this is something they have to face, a challenge they have to face all the time. They have to overcome any sort of rein in any sort of midah that might lead them to kaas. And that also is part of the Shvach of Eretz Yisrael, because the physicality is so blessed, then man has to find lehit chamesh, some sort of power through kalim, through various utensils, he probably means the weaponry that we use, sheyazru lo lizgaber al netiyas hageshem, that should encourage him, with a capital H, to make fun of. In this section, this parasha of Shvach Eretz Yisrael, where the wonderful physicality, materiality that's blessed might turn in the other direction to be a roitz, to be a challenge that'll bring people down, in that context, man has to find the right kalim to arm himself, to protect himself, that will help him to overcome any sort of netiyah, any sort of inclination to physicality. To overcome a discipline, that yetzer hara, that natural yetzer that might get the best of him. And here's where the Talmidei Chachamim come in, that they are blessed to be like Barzel, like Nechoshes, to be absolutely powerful and unyielding on this very issue. And now we understand when Chazal say Barasi yetzer hara, Barasi lo Torah Tavlin, that it's only the Torah that can stand up in front of the yetzer hara. When we're speaking about that part of the Torah that describes the Shvach of Eretz Yisrael, then we have to understand that it's going to be a challenge, it's going to be a danger on a spiritual level, and the Torah is telling us in this Remez of Avanel Barzel that the Talmidei Chachamim, they are the ones who are going to bring the Schus HaTorah through their limud to be misgaber on the Eitzah, to overcome the Eitzah Hara. And now we are living in Eretz, so we have to pray to Hashem and ask us that He give us those powers, those kalim that are necessary to overcome all these challenges, all these mikhsholim, in the physical sense, in the spiritual sense, and to give us that love for Torah, that dedication to Torah, that allow us to become like Barzil and Nechoshes. This is the land Asher, Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Osa Tomid, Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo Mireishis Hashanah V'Yad Achris Hashanah. And this is what we want in Mirtz Hashem, be zocha to the ultimate Shua, the ultimate Geula, Mashiach Tzidkenu, B'mehirav Yameinu, Amen.